Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call of Sterling Tools Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pankaj Gupta, Group CFO of Sterling Tools Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sterling Tools Limited Quarter 2 H1-26 call. I'm joined today by Mr. Atul Agrawal, Managing Director, Mr. Jaideep Wadhwa, Director, Mr. Anish Agrawal, Director, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. Our earnings presentation has been uploaded on our website and on the stock exchanges, and I hope everybody has had a chance to go through the same. I'll now invite Mr. Atul Agrawal for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Pankaj. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me start by talking about the industry highlights. The Indian automobile industry witnessed steady improvement towards the end of Q2 FY26, supported by the rollout of GST 2.0, early festive demand, and improving customer sentiment. While passenger vehicle sales were marginally lower year-on-year, September saw a strong rebound driven by utility vehicles and record exports. H1 domestic two-wheeler sales grew 1%, exports were up 24% post-GST rationalization. H2 is expected to see double-digit growth, lifting FY26 domestic sales by 5%-7%. Three-wheelers and commercial vehicles posted strong double-digit export growth, indicating broad-based momentum. Looking ahead, the industry enters the second half of FY26 with renewed optimism, supported by festive season demand, a healthy rural outlook, and the positive impact of GST 2.0 and monetary easing measures. With consumer sentiment improving and OEMs ramping up production, the sector is expected to maintain its growth momentum through H2 FY26, setting a strong trajectory for the rest of the year. On our standalone fastener business, total income increased to 172.2 crores in Q2 FY26. EBITDA margin and PBT before exceptional items remained flat on a year-on-year basis. Exceptional item for the quarter and six months ended 30th September 2025 represents enhanced compensation of 9.5 crore rupees, including an interest of 6.22 crores received from Delhi Metro Rail Corporation against land acquired by DMRC in earlier years. However, with a positive macro environment, improved customer sentiment, and stronger OEM production outlook, we expect the second half of FY26 to be significantly better. The recovery in the automotive industry and steady demand across both domestic and export markets should support higher capacity utilization and margin improvement in our fastener business. Further, during the quarter, we have begun to see early traction from newly acquired customers, including Hyundai. The onboarding of these new OEMs strengthens our long-term positioning and is expected to drive incremental growth and deeper customer engagement in the coming quarters. We continue to maintain a net debt-free status with consistent cash flow generation, enabling us to fund group growth initiatives internally. Our mature cash-generative core business provides a strong foundation for strategic diversification into high-growth areas. We have been consistently outperforming industry growth through new customer acquisition while maintaining strong, stable double-digit EBITDA margins. Additionally, project acquisition in critical fasteners marks a key step in this direction. with a clear focus on premium value-added products that offer robust margins and higher customer stickiness. We are happy to share that Sterling GTech Mobility Limited has been rebranded as Sterling E-Mobility Solutions Limited, SEM. This new identity reflects the evolution of the business as comprehensive provider of advanced EV powertrain and power electronic solutions, which is further strengthened by our partnerships with Advanced Electric Machines, as well as Landvolt Technology Company Limited. Importantly, our exclusive partnership with Jiangsu GTEC Electric Company Limited for the Indian market remains strong and continues to flourish. Together, we are developing and localizing multiple products to meet domestic requirements. And we are also exploring new collaborations that further strengthen our leadership in the EV ecosystem. Building on our current strong foundation in motor control units, SEM has now expanded into integrated motors and MCUs, rare earth magnet-free motors, onboard and off-board chargers, and DC-DC converters. Our STML subsidiary will start commercial production of HPDC contactors and relays in December 25 at its state-of-the-art, fully automated manufacturing facility in Bangalore. This business has a revenue potential of 200 crores within the next 5 years. STML is a first mover in domestic manufacturing of high-voltage power transmission components for India's evolving electric mobility and industrial sectors, and once again demonstrates Sterling's pioneering spirit and commitment into the electric mobility space. Our strategic focus remains on import substitution through technical collaborations aimed at establishing localized supply chains for safety-critical components. Thank you. We can now open the floor for questions. Thank you once again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, in order to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Deepan Shankara from Trustline Holdings Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. So firstly, on MCU division, so despite our top MCU customer reported volume drop of 23% Q1Q, still our company is able to report 22% Q1Q growth. So what is the kind of contribution we have got from non-scooter MCUs during Q2?
We'd mentioned this earlier that we are continuing to expand our product portfolio, and we have put in a tremendous amount of effort to develop our business with the LCV and HCV customers. So that those customers today contribute. Give me a minute. Those customers today contribute more than 25% of our total revenue, and our two-wheeler business is about 60% of our total revenue now.
Okay, that's good
and
to hear.
And this number will, and we expect that going forward, the share of business from other segments, that's three-wheeler, LCV, HCV, will continue to grow.
Okay. And also, can you throw more light on the recent partnership announced with Landvolt Technology to produce onboard chargers and DC-DC converters?
Okay. So, Landvolt is a company based out of Shenzhen. They make onboard chargers, DC-DC converters, and PDUs. These are products that go into typically high voltage applications, and I'll explain the exception also to you. So the applications for such products are in light commercial vehicles, heavy commercial vehicles, and passenger vehicles. Basically, typically the product ranges that are 300 volts and above. Now, the reason why we feel that it's very important to play in these product ranges is that we see a lot of consolidation of the aggregates. So, you know, if you look at a bus or a truck platform, they are moving from only using a motor control unit to using a 4-in-1 and or 5-in-1 unit. And those units, when you talk about a 5-in-1 unit, that means a motor control unit, a DC-DC, auxiliary drives, and a PDU. Alternatively, the people will look at consolidating the onboard charger with a DC-DC and other elements. So there is a lot of consolidation in the aggregates, and our strategy from the beginning has been to position ourselves as a power electronics expert and a power electronics domain leader so that we can provide our customers the right solution. The other thing that I'll like to mention because it explains a little bit about our group strategy. We'll be talking today also about STML, our business to make high voltage DC contactors, which we're starting production in December, and Anish will be giving you more details about that. Now, the PDU, the power distribution unit that I'm talking about in these 3-in-1, 4-in-1, and 5-in-1 units, the biggest component of that PDU is these high voltage DC contactors. So in effect, and we talked about this in earlier interactions, that the HVDC play, in addition to supplying components to our to other companies across India, is also a backward integration for us, where in the future we will be able to use the Sterling e-mobility business will be a customer for the Sterling tech mobility business.
Okay. And in the press release, we have mentioned that we are targeting to reach around 450 crores by FY30. So will it be a gradual scale up, or it will be towards the fag end of the target?
It will be a gradual scale up. We only expect to do 2 or 3 crores this year.
Okay. And what is the status on production of this REM-free electric motor, and any customer approvals received, and when will it start contributing revenues?
So we are in advanced discussions with several customers. We are hoping that in the coming calendar year, I won't say fiscal year, but in the coming calendar year, we will finalize programs with one or possibly two customers. But we won't see revenue from this portfolio till FY28. Okay. I mean, when I'm saying revenue, I mean significant revenue. We may see engineering fees or sample fees or stuff like that. Obviously, we'll be doing that.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shashank Agarwal from Shishko. Please go ahead.
So I just have 3 questions. So first is regarding what is the market size of these 3 new products, DC-DC converters, the HVDC contactors, and relays?
I think I'll let Anish answer. So Anish, you want to go with the HVDC contactors and relays? Anish, you want to address that?
Yeah, so we'll segregate the DC onboard chargers. That's part of Sterling E-Mobility Solutions Limited. HVDC contactors and pre-charge relays is part of Sterling Technologies, STML, Sterling Tech Mobility. So with regards to HVDC contactors and pre-charge relays, the market currently would be the tune of 300 to 400 crores in India. It's growing every year, and we expect this market to go up to upwards of 1,000 crores by the end of this decade across three-wheelers, passenger vehicles, commercial vehicles, solar and arms, all of that put together. That's the way we see it. If you look at EV as a subset of it, EV will be 60 to 70% of the market size of the total number that I just gave to you.
So in the business, in the OBC and power electronics business, we think that this the total market potential, and of course this is dependent on you know how penetration will come across, but we are projecting you know at most 15% to 20% market share. So we are looking at a 2000. So another way to say that we're looking at approximately 2,000 crore market size by 2030.
And sir, none of these companies like Schneider and L&T are manufacturing these.
No, Schneider doesn't make. I mean, the companies that make this would be companies like Valeo would make an OBC or DC-DC, but not Schneider. Are you talking about the relays or the which? Sorry, I mean, sorry. Can you just clarify what are you?
The relays and relays. So the relays and contactors.
They don't. See, Schneider makes switch gears, industrial applications. They don't really make HVDC contactors and relays. They buy them for industrial applications and automotive applications. Schneider is not in this business at all.
So no one is manufacturing in India then.
No.
And sir, for the MCU business, are we looking to supply to TVS, Bajaj, Honda?
We are working with, we are in discussions with all of the major companies for their future programs.
So because your Ampere as a customer also, so they are looking to source the MCUs from their parent company. So I was just looking for some revenue guidance in that business for the MCU part.
Yeah. I mean, there are you know various companies have looked at manufacturing MCUs in house. Ampere is one of them. But you know we continue to believe that the opportunity with the incumbents is very significant. This is a very fast-moving industry. You know, the requirements have gone from a plain MCU maybe a year and a half ago. You know, everyone was basically working on just a standalone MCU. Now the requirements are very rapidly changing to integrated motors and controllers. There is also a move towards integrating other functionalities such as VCUs and possibly even DC-DC into MCUs. So, you know, while some companies may localize some models, overall, I don't think that any company can look at making everything in-house, and they will have to continue to work with partners like us for either some or a majority part of their requirements.
So basically, good ramp-up in the EV penetration will result in you able to scale your MCU revenue also. Because in that way, the company will have to buy the MCUs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, as we see more and more models come out, you know, and you see more variants. I mean, you know, so today companies are, you know, there's very few motorcycles, for example, in the market. Mostly it's electric scooters. So as you see more and more variants coming out, you will see more and more, you know, we will see a lot of opportunity. The penetration has, you know, we do have these temporary blips, which, you know, which is a part of the evolution of an industry. For instance, an unintended outcome of the GST rationalization was that it made the internal combustion engine scooters more economical and reduced the value proposition for electric scooters. So, you know, the OEs had to go back and rework their some of their value positions to, you know, continue to stay relevant. So that's a part of growing up. But I mean, it, you know, the important thing is that we have to, over a period of, I mean, there will be the penetration that will continue to increase. And as penetration increases, the opportunities for companies like us will increase also.
And so the surface mount technology that you are investing in, so how will that affect your expenses?
Sorry,
Like the manufacturing
right now,
expense cost?
so again, the we as of now, we are in this fiscal year, we are investing in other production technologies. Maybe the SMT will be it will be for the next fiscal. The obviously any it's a matter of a cost, because when we outsource, we buy more flexibility. We in the supply chain, we look at the we have the advantage of being able to ramp up and ramp down more efficiently. But the downside, but when we make it in-house, we are able to capture more of the value and are able to reduce our cost. So it's a trade-off. When we start looking at SMT technologies and so on, then what we are looking at is reducing our cost base.
Can you put a number to it? What is the percentage-wise?
Look, that's, considering today we are making motor control units, we are starting production of OBC and DC-DC, etc., that varies dramatically. But definitely, it does make a difference. The more vertically integrated you are, the more margin you are able to capture.
Okay. And so for these new things, the OBCs, the connectors, the contactors, the converters, so are you just doing the assembly part or your manufacturing component also?
In the case of OBC and DC-DC, obviously we are buying the electronic child parts, and we are assembling them and doing the test and validation, which is what is there for all the electronic components in the industry today. That's what the model is, because there are no electronic child parts available in India, or very, very limited electronic child parts available in India. Anish will give you a little bit more flavor of the manufacturing process for the contactors.
So with regards to manufacturing of high voltage, it's very manufacturing intensive, because you're essentially making these child parts right from ceramic assembly, to the metal stamp parts, to the coil assemblies, the top covers, the bottom covers, etc. And then you're bringing them all together. In this first phase of localization, we will be sourcing some of the child parts from our partner in China, and we will be putting them together here in India. And as and when we're able to localize these components, we'll backward integrate and we'll localize the supply chain for some of these child parts here in India itself.
Okay, that's all for me, sir. Thank you for your answers, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Payal Shah from Billion Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions. The first thing, can you share an update on how our global partnerships are progressing, and what specific benefits they have been bringing in terms of technology or customer wins?
Jerry, you want to take that? Yeah.
Look, our technology, so as of today, we have formalized four technology partnerships: Jiangsu JITEC, Advanced Electric Machines, and Landward in the case of Sterling E-Mobility, and Kunshan Goli in the case of Sterling Tech Mobility. I think these partnerships have been very good. We've definitely benefited a lot from the experience from these companies. We have to understand that, especially in China, the electric mobility, the EV industry is far more advanced in terms of volumes and in terms of maturity. By signing up with technical partners, we are able to build, we are able to really cut short our learning curve and get into get to start working with customers very, very quickly. And the strategy that we have is that we start with technology partnerships, but we are always looking at investing in our own tech and our own IP so that in the future we can be independent. But by using the technology partnership route, we are able to move very quickly. In most cases, we have been either the first mover or been amongst the first movers. Once we are working with the customer, we have the ability to understand their future plans, their technology roadmaps, and are able to adapt ourselves to that. And when we do start our own developments, we are able to adapt these developments to the latest requirements from the customer. So we are, the voice of customer is very strong. Whereas if you're doing this development in isolation, you can never get it right because you don't know, you may know what the customer needs today, but you don't know what the customer is looking at in the future.
I'll give you
an explanation. It's because we were working with the customers, and we understood the need, the desire, and the strategy to move to multifunction units, that we were able to build a strategy to enter into this field and to work towards that. So, we've been doing this for a couple of years, and, we're now looking at localizing these multifunction units. If we hadn't been working closely with the customers, if we didn't have products that they needed and they were not engaging with us on a regular basis, we would have never have known that. We would have been working on standalone MCUs, whereas the market is continuing to evolve. Sorry, you had a follow-up question.
Yeah, thank you for the elaborate answer. My next question is, what is the CAPEX plan for the next one or two years? Given the strong cash position, how much are we looking to allocate towards scaling up the EV and HVDC operations? That's my second question.
So for the CAPEX for the new businesses, the SEM business, Sterling E-Mobility, and then STML. For the first SEM business, we're looking at about 10 to 15 crores CAPEX coming next year into that. And for our STML DC contactor business, I think there'll be a marginal CAPEX coming in, maybe the tune of 10 odd crores next financial year. But we'll have some fresh greenfield CAPEX coming in. We have identified a few more products which we are working on closely with our technology partners and potential customers in India. Those plans are being finalized. There'll be greenfield operations again. I think we'll get more clarity in the next 3 to 6 months. And as and when we have clarity, we'll share them with you. Vis-a-vis our standalone fastener business, our CAPEX next year is projected to be anywhere in the range of, 25 odd crore. So all together, put together, we are looking at about a 50 crore CAPEX for the existing businesses we have. And for the additional new products we may launch, that will be on top of this.
And if I can just add to what Akul just said, the 10 to 15 crores for SEM that we are looking at for next year is over and above 45 crores that we would have invested in FY25 and FY26. So a 3-year CAPEX of 60 crores.
Okay. So lastly, what's the overall growth outlook for FY26-27, both on top line and margins? And by when do we expect to cross the FY25 revenue levels again? That will be my last question.
I think from a consolidated level, my sense is hopefully in FY27, we'll be very close to our numbers, what we had in FY25, on a consolidated level, with the new business of STML kicking in and the growth we have in our fastener business, plus the growth coming next year in the SEM business. So FY27, we hope to recover the ground we lost from a consolidated perspective. I think we have full visibility on that.
Oh, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Rahil from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, we can.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. So firstly, these tech partnerships, since you have entered them, have they yielded us more customers immediately? So how fast is the process? If you can give a certain picture on that.
So look, anything in the auto industry, fast is a bit of an illusion, because you have to understand that if you look at SCM or you look at what STML is doing, while we may have great customer references and some of the customers who we sell to in China or our partners sell to in China may be setting up plants in India, but still for a product from the time that we first connect with a customer, the earliest we can hope for any revenues is at least a year. Because that's how long it takes to do the trials, to do the integration, validation, homologation, etc. I mean, chances are it's more than that. But the best we can hope for is a year.
Okay, yeah. That being said, what I'm asking is, do these tech partnerships just put you on the map and you're just visible, or are they actually resulting in more customers? Have you seen the difference before and post these partnerships?
Well, I mean, I'll try and answer this question. Look, if in certain fields, it's not about being on the map. If let's say in the case of an onboard charger or OBC as we call it, or in the case of a high voltage DC-DC, until we did the partnership with Landworld, we were not on the map. We were just not, we were not present at all. So the technology partnerships gives us the product and the ability to go connect with the customer and say, yes, we can give you a complete solution. But obviously we have to work to convince the customer that we are the right partners, that we can give them the level of support that they're looking for, and we have the engineering bandwidth to support their vehicle design and production. I don't know if that's answered your question or not. And if not, I mean, I'll try and, if you can explain it again, I'll try and see if I can address it.
Let me just supplement that by just saying that, you know, I think it's not as simple just putting us on the map. We are trying to bring products to India which are currently being imported for EV supply chain safety systems. Within that, there are no technologies available in India, there's no ecosystem, there's no supply chain in India. Now, the other way would be we start from scratch, develop these products, which can take years of R&D going into it, and with no data to back up with our customers. So if we are getting technologies from partners who've been in this business for a decade and from a growing market, which is a world leader today, we're bringing top of the class line products into the country, which are currently being imported. So we're actually building, you know, we are jump starting, we are shortening the time for getting those products to the market for our customers, and that gives us a huge advantage. Now, having said that, also, it's not as if the products we are building are just coming from China, we assemble them and ship it to our customers. Each product has to be redesigned or tweaked from an engineering perspective to meet Indian customer needs and requirements. No single product coming from overseas is ready to fit into Indian EV ecosystem. They all need to be redesigned to some sense, both in hardware and software, to fit to the customer needs. So that process, we're only jump-starting and shortening the time cycle for that. And once that is done, we are building on our capabilities independently, like we have done in our Sterling e-mobility business, which we used to be Sterling GTEC earlier. Today, our skill competence, our competence in our tech centers and our engineering rooms is so far ahead that we are reasonably independent over time from a day-to-day perspective on our tech partners. And if we continue on that journey, we believe that we become independent in every sense of the word, from an engineering and a quality and a supply chain perspective.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Now, how long are these partnerships for? And is there a risk of...
We signed 7 to 10 year agreements.
Okay. Okay. And beyond that, so then in these next 7 to 10 years or a decade, so to speak, your aim is to, you know, fully utilize these, the tech, what do you say, offerings these partnerships have, and then create an ecosystem within Sterling Tools so you don't have to depend on them anymore. Is that correct?
That's right. I mean, we have the option of renewing, but the idea is to be able to develop our own tech because we have to also protect against geopolitical risk.
Exactly, and become a one-stop solution for all the auto industry. Yeah, okay. Perfect. And you've given a certain outlook for FY27. What can one expect for this year? How do you expect to close FY26 when it comes to consolidated top line and EBITDA margins?
Can you repeat that question again, please?
So you've given an outlook for FY27. I just want to know for the next remaining half of this fiscal, which is FY26 financial year, what are your expectations when it comes to top line and EBITDA margins on a consolidated level?
No, we don't give hard guidance for the second half of the year, but I can say this, that we are, on our standalone business, we are quite positive, like I said in my opening statement, both in terms of revenue projections and in terms of margin retention and growth. Our first half numbers bear that out, that we have been able to maintain our EBITDA margin, and we're quite confident the second half will probably be a shade better than what we have in the first half. On a consolidated level, I think we'll have a degrowth over last year because we lost our key anchor customer in SEML. But from an overall margin perspective, we hope to retain our consolidated margin numbers as we have for the second half into the second half, as we have for the first half into the second half.
For the standalone business, what are these projections that you have penciled in? Or it's just
I think we at the beginning of the year, we said we'll probably grow at 5 to 7% for the full year, and we are on track to do that in our standalone business on a full year basis.
All right. Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you once again for giving us your time today. I think last few conference calls have been quite a learning exercise for all our investors. We've had a huge consequential event about 6 months ago in one of our businesses where we lost a key customer. That has impacted our revenue growth. But as a business, let me assure the investors that we are on track. We are very cognizant of the issues we have. We continue to generate a lot of cash in our standalone business. That business is very healthy. It's growing very well, retaining our margins despite some extra inflationary cost pressures coming in. We've been able to grow the product mix. We've been able to grow the margin structures, keeping all that in mind. And we are quite confident of the way forward in our standalone business. Despite the challenges at SEM, we believe that it has been a huge learning curve for us. We are better positioned to handle the future by adding more products and adding a couple of more tech partners into that business. And our STML business, our high voltage DC contactor business, is also looking very good from the traction we've had with key customers in India. We believe that on a medium term, long term perspective, we are right on track. We have a lot of visibility with where we want to go. The growth may be a little muted right now, but over the next 2 to 5 years, we believe all these businesses and new businesses we intend to start in the EV ecosystem will bear a lot of revenue growth and margin expansion as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sterling Tools Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.